Well, it's week four of our new Bible study series called The Unnamed Women in the Bible, a five-part series with this free Bible study guide that you can download right now on our See, Hear, Love website. Well, today we're learning about the unnamed woman caught in adultery, found in John 8, 1 to 11, and featuring our Bible teacher, Bishop Jenny Anderson, and this incredible panel seated around the table and ready to go because we hope you're ready too. Well, did you know that theologians estimate that more than 600 women are mentioned in the Bible without their names? So in the following Bible study series about these inspiring unnamed women and girls, we're going to learn more about their context and history, dive deeper into the stories and lives of these women, ask questions, listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to one another. We're going to write down our personal thoughts and learnings, and we're going to challenge ourselves on applications and next steps. So get your pen, pencil out, because we are going to study together and learn about the unnamed woman caught in adultery in the Bible. That is coming up right now on See, Hear, Love.
From Crossroads Media, this is See, Hear, Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 14.
It's our fourth week, everyone. We've made it. I know, I love this. We've made it through at the fourth week of our five series and episode of this Bible series of the Unnamed Women of the Bible. First week, our viewers heard about us, and we shared our stories and our God stories and why we follow Jesus. The second week, we learned about the unnamed widow and her oil. Helen, it was wonderful. Great conversation. The third week, we discussed the unnamed servant girl. That was incredible, Sarah. And today we're going to dive in and learn more about the unnamed woman caught in adultery. Jenny, thanks again to the Canadian Bible Society for sponsoring this conversation. And don't forget, like I always say, to download this Bible study. It's free on our website at seeherlove.com/unnamedwomenstudy. And I guess I should welcome everybody again, right? I mean, Bishop Jenny Anderson, Rector of St. Paul's Bloor Street and St. George's Grange Park in Toronto.
So exciting to be here.
So great that you're back. Dr. Sarah Hahn, Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry at Tyndale University. Welcome back. Helen Burns, pastor and international speaker and international traveler in vans. And you need to hear the prior series study. And I mean, that's going to live with you forever. And Anne Miranda, pastor, speaker, and author. Welcome. So let's get into this. Wow. Okay, Jenny, the unnamed woman, the unnamed woman caught in adultery in the book of John 8, 1 to 11.
Yes.
Let's go.
Well, Melinda, to start, I just got to say that I was really nervous about what I was going to wear on this show, whether I was going to have a good hair day. And it's trivial, but it's a reminder that we're embodied beings and that our bodies, gifts from God, part of what make us human, made in the image of God, but they can also be used against us, our bodies, to humiliate us, to shame us. And so as an embodied woman, I want to hear the good news of how Jesus interacts with this woman and her body, John chapter 8. So if you're watching us, you're going to want to read this story, but I'm going to kind of talk us through the story and give us some context. Okay. So in the context of the day, this woman who's been caught in the very act of adultery, we're told Mosaic law, she's probably going to have to pay with her life, right? Yeah. Probably by stoning. Both men and women would have had to pay with their lives for this sin. But what's good is that the laws of evidence are really stringent. You had to have at least two witnesses who actually saw the couple in the act of adultery. Right? Oh. I know. Isn't that interesting? My husband's a lawyer, so you kind of pay attention to this stuff. But it's good that the laws were so strict. All right? Mm-hmm. So now the woman is brought to the Temple Mount. We don't know what state of undress she might have been in as she's been dragged. And she's now got to stand before the Jewish Supreme Court. And in my mind's eye, I kind of picture maybe 10, maybe 15 men. But at the time of when this was happening in Jesus' lifetime, the Sanhedrin was up to 71 men. So this woman is now having to stand in front of all of these men. And we're told that the religious leaders actually weren't even interested in the woman. They weren't actually interested in her. They were using her to trap Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So she was an instrument for them. She was just a means to an end. She was just a thing for them to accomplish their political goal of stopping Jesus's kind of burgeoning ministry in its tracks. And then what's so amazing here is that Jesus, he takes on this wonderful posture of humility and he kneels and he writes in the dust, right? Now, we don't know what Jesus wrote. Was he writing the names of the women that the religious leaders had slept with? We don't know. We don't know what he was doing. And what's interesting is there's only one other place in the Bible where we hear of writing in the dirt, and it's in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17:13, where the prophet denounces the people in Israel who are wandering away from the word of God. And so maybe Jesus is writing in the dirt to point out to the religious leaders that they're the ones wandering away from the word of God, right? We don't know. We can't speculate. But it's the only other time in Scripture that writing in the dirt is actually mentioned. And now Jesus turns the tables on all the men, right? He says, those of you without sin, you now cast the first stone. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, okay, gentlemen, you want to use the law of Moses here? Fine. Let's go by the book. Which of you were the two witnesses that actually saw this happening? And when Jesus says that, all the men begin to walk away, right? One by one. And then my favorite bit of this story is now, Jesus is now alone with this woman. And you can kind of imagine him face to face. And he confronts her about her sin, not publicly, like what had been done before, but privately, so as not to humiliate her. And he says, who's condemned you? And this, I think, is one of my favorite parts of the whole Bible, because it's the only time we hear her voice. And she says, Lord, no one has condemned me. That's the gospel. That woman actually says in those four or five words the entire gospel, right? Like no one condemns her. I know, right? And it's almost as if Jesus takes her shame and sin on himself right then. He's like, I'll take your condemnation. You don't have to have this condemnation anymore. And she gets to walk free. No shame, no humiliation. And she's now like physically found her refuge. Like her body, which has just been publicly humiliated, has found its refuge, safety, alone with Jesus. And our bodies are used against us as women so often. And so I find it really a very powerful story. And you think about women who experience sexual violence all over the world. And women, we make our own sexual mistakes, right? This woman, you know, she had sinned. But we can find physical refuge for our bodies with Jesus. So... Oh. So my sisters, it's an amazing story, right?
Yeah.
So I've shared some of the things that really kind of jump out at me. For me, it's the kind of physicality of her body as a woman meeting with Jesus. Yes. But like, Anne, what jumps out for you most in this, this like really kind of amazing encounter with Jesus?
You're reminding me of the first episode that I mentioned really quickly at the end, Isaiah 61.
Right.
That's my life verse.
Yes.
There's a portion in that, it's verse 3 and verse 7 that really like impacted my life as a young believer who has experienced sexual violence. I feel like the tenderness of this.
I know.
And when I read those scriptures, not knowing anything about God and anything about, like, no context at all, no theological understanding, reading those scriptures, jumping off the page, he will exchange my shame for a double portion of honor and everlasting joy, like take my ashes, exchange for beauty. Like those words were like proof to me that God existed.
Totally.
It was part of my encounter with him saying, I see you. Like this story is, I've not given it adultery, but it's like this story of like this healing that has happened. And the fact that he actually will love us no matter what has been done to us or what we have done.
Yeah.
It's like what you're saying, that scripture, no one condemns me.
That's right.
It's the gospel.
It's the gospel.
And I think too for me, because it's, you know, in my own days of backsliding and being a prodigal, made so many
Yes.
wrong decisions mm-hmm. and use my body to yep. to gain what I wanted. Mm-hmm. False adoration, acceptance. Mm. Because I know women do have the power in that with our bodies. Mm. And the shame and regret that you carry with that mm-hmm. because of just what you've done to yourself and to others mm-hmm. in that way. And to hear where it's the gentleness and kindness of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not where in this time and place in our world where people want to just like on socials yep. and point their finger and you're wrong and this is why yep. and yep. you're condemned and we cancel you and all these mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. Jesus just goes, nope. Mm-hmm. You know. And then he writes in the sand. I've always wondered what that was. I've always wondered he was also writing the sins of the men. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't
but
know.
Just the gentleness mm. of Jesus is also what has drawn me to him. Mm-hmm. And that to me always stands out. And then what happened when they saw what he did, they walked away.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And she was left. And imagine her looking at Jesus going, what are you going to say? Maybe, mm-hmm. Jesus, you want me alone because now you're going to yell and condemn me.
That's right.
And imagine to her surprise, she was embraced and said,
"Yeah,
just don't sin anymore. You know, you're loved. I see you. Mm-hmm. You're worthy."
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like beautiful. All the men in that story had power. The religious leaders had power. Yeah. Jesus had power.
Yeah.
The religious leaders used their power to condemn and humiliate, but Jesus used his power to forgive, mm-hmm. restore, mm-hmm. and send this woman off for a life of commitment. And that's mm-hmm. just so incredible about how they use their power, right? Yeah. I know. Now, Helen, you've talked about how you and your husband often talk about healthy sexuality,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
At what ways does this story, the hope that Jesus, what hope does Jesus give young girls, young women in our kind of hyper-sexualized culture that really focuses on the female body,
yeah.
right? What hope
would
you
see? We live in such a broken world. Sexual, yeah. I mean, if you can just think of words. The enemy has targeted so much of the pain in this world. It is around our sexuality.
Yes. Yep.
And that has been back here in Jesus's day. You see that. We've seen yep. it forever. And we sure see it today. It still feels like one of the greatest targets. And I love the beauty of, if we go back to Genesis chapter 2, you know, the man and the woman were both naked and mm-hmm. neither of them felt any shame because yep. where there is no sin, there is no shame. Mm-hmm. And here he says, you know, Jesus doesn't condone her sin.
Nope.
He does say, you know, you're forgiven, you're mm-hmm. go, but sin no more. Mm-hmm. But our sexuality is a gift. Mm. And I've often asked people as we talk about this, that can you honestly say before God that this your gift of sexuality, which all of us were born, that's part of our being, is a good gift mm. that God gave us. Mm-hmm. And I think so many people aren't able to embrace it because there's shame around it. And I think that so often, even I say this carefully because I've been a pastor, I love the church, but often we have shrouded our sexuality with shame and you know, don't mm-hmm. so much so that, you know, we're either way over here or way over here where there's this healthy, beautiful place, understanding how God created us, and part of our being is our healthy sexuality. It has a purpose in our lives. It's not to steal from our life, it's to enrich our lives, and it belongs in the sanctity of a healthy, loving marriage. Mm-hmm. God has created it in that way. So when we understand that it's been so attacked and so maligned, and we have to go back and say, why? Why has this been such an issue? And go back to truth, because the Bible has a lot to say about it, mm-hmm. and to understand everything that God created is good. And this body that we walk in, it's good. Mm. Every part of it, what it looks like, what it feels like, and that gift of that awakening of sexuality. If we could just teach our children and be open and honest and talk about the beauty of what God created in our sexuality and the purpose of it, we would disempower so much of the brokenness. Mm-hmm. And so in a very broken world, I believe that we as the church need to stand up and speak into it with a confidence and a boldness and embrace the beauty that it should be and mm-hmm. take where there is no sin, there's no shame. And take the shame away. Shame says you are bad and you're not.
Mm. Thank you. Sarah, your girls are younger. What would what's the hope of Jesus for your girls in this story?
I think the hope is that Jesus was there. He was there with this woman.
Yeah.
And in all of our battles, our challenges, the joys that will come with sexuality, Jesus is there. And I that's what I would want to share with my girls
so
is that
good.
Your body is the temple of the Lord and Jesus is always with you. And when I imagine Jesus bending down and writing, I don't know, in my heart, like he's writing my daughter's names, you know, saying they're protected by my grace. You know, I'm getting all tender too. Like, I'm
here. Don't wreck your makeup,
Sarah. Come on. He's saying, I'm there with you in every moment. He's not calling us to perfection, but he's calling us to just be embraced by him, to not be condemned, and then to be empowered by him to then now go and leave our life of sin. And I think that word there, it's not so much a command as it is an encouragement and an empowering. He's saying, you can leave it now. You know, I'm empowering you. I'm here. I've written your name down. I've paid the cost. And so you can live a life that is different now. And so I think that's just the hope I have for my daughters, is that Jesus will always be there with them.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
And I think the beauty, too, is for the women who have made choices that have hurt their bodies or and things that have been done to them. I think it just shows Jesus' tender, loving care for us. You know, that, and I think it's just, I think I'm just feeling it all. It's just that tenderness and kindness to say, it happened.
That's right.
And yet, you know, here we are, me and you.
That's
and
right.
I'm just saying, you know, don't have to do it anymore, and I love you and I see you.
I know.
And I think that is the beauty. When we talked about in the first show about why we follow Jesus, that's part of it too, even for me personally. When I see these stories, I'm like, who wouldn't want to follow a man, God, who is this way with women in the deepest, hardest, shameful places of your life?
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at SeeHearLove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seehearlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seehearlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
This. We can't rewrite the past. Many of us have made poor decisions or bad things have happened to us. And we've often been victimized by that. But the beauty of, like you said, Jesus is there. And that past, and so I know that people watching today are talking about this. We all have a story. But when we invite Jesus into it, it doesn't change the past, but it brings him into the story to write a future. Because the word I have here is freedom. He set her free. And there's freedom on the other side of an encounter with Jesus. When the world wants to condemn you and you want to condemn yourself, he comes and brings you freedom. And that is not something that shackles you forever. You can have freedom and know sexual joy and purity on the other side of great brokenness. He has that for us.
I really want to linger in this question, though, for a minute,
please.
Because your hope here that Jesus, your question is like, what hope does Jesus give to young women and teens in this culture that we live in? And I'm just processing because I have teenagers. And so I'm processing how much of the message that is told to them is about sexuality. Whatever they're watching, any show that is targeted to them, any music that is targeted to them, and even outfits, clothing, all the things, right? I had a friend recently, she has a 5-year-old, and the little girl came out of her room and she had tied up her shirt like really, really high with an elastic at the back, and she just wants to show off her cute little body. And it's like so cute. And I asked her, I said, so she actually had taken a picture of this little one. And I said, okay, so how did you react? in that moment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're seeing our kids listen to a thing or watch a thing or dress in a certain way or whatever, yeah. and people freak out mm-hmm. or shame mm-hmm. the child or this mm-hmm. young woman or a teenager. And I just wonder if we could also slow down some of our emotions and our fears mm-hmm. and be like what my friend had did with her kid and just mm-hmm. said, oh, that's an interesting outfit. just like asked her some questions about her little yeah. outfit. Mm-hmm. And, oh, okay, you want to go try out another outfit? Mm-hmm. And didn't like freak out or mm-hmm. flip out. She was just like, okay, go have another, you know, go change. But she said it in a way mm-hmm. that was really interesting for a child. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Usually with teenagers, because this is a question directed about teenagers, mm-hmm. we just freak out.
So I think you're really yeah. onto something.
Let's
there.
Like my girl, hash this out a bit.
Totally. They're just a little bit older than you. And I remember trying to find humorous ways to talk about clothing and the culture's messages. And I remember saying to the girls, I was like, listen, ladies, when they were teenagers, modest is hottest, right? Like, this is the way to go. And they're like, no, mommy. Yeah, exactly. Revealing is appealing.
I'm like, okay, ladies.
but like not freaking out, yes. right? Which is hard to do. Inside you so might hard. Be freaking out, but it's like, how do you create a kind of low pressure environment to say, Jesus is with you here. We can laugh about this. We can kind of make, like the one thing Satan hates is being made fun of. Mm-hmm. So if we can make fun of what the Satan is doing in a culture towards women's bodies, I think that really helps,
and
right?
And I also think this is really important too, because I think, you know, in my culture of church culture, we didn't talk about bodies and sex in a healthy way. Mm. Everything was clouded in secrecy or shame, or yep. we don't talk about that, or you just do that. You know, talk about that when you get married. Mm-hmm. And so here you are as a teenager with all these hormones and feelings, and who are you talking to?
Right.
And sometimes you can't talk to your parents, and the church wasn't a safe place. And so you can understand where young people, as far as sexuality, where are they getting their information?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And yet I would say for women, whether you're married, you have kids, you're an auntie, you're a mentor, be a safe place to talk about these things without mm-hmm. judgment. If somebody, yeah. if a young girl comes, she says, what about this? What about my body? What about this changing? What about... Don't be embarrassed. Talk. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I think when we talk, it loses, you know, its hold that there's something mm-hmm. wrong about it. Mm-hmm. And I think when we can talk, I wish I'd had, you right. know, somebody to talk about that, honestly, to share about right. what happens.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important.
It reminds me, I used to work in retail a lot, and the way that you would find counterfeit cash, this is in a time when people were still using cash, is they don't make you look at a counterfeit note, you actually look at the real thing right. and you study the real thing really well so that when a fake comes, a counterfeit comes, mm-hmm. you know right away, oh, this is a counterfeit because I know what the real thing is. Mm-hmm. And I think along with what you're saying, we just need to really talk about what is the real thing? You know, mm-hmm. who are we called to be as women of God? What is sex and marriage when it's amazing and it's celebrated? And when we talk more about the real thing, when young women come against the counterfeit, they'll know, no, mm-hmm. this is not the real thing. Right. This is mm-hmm. not how God has designed it for me. And so filling them with the truth, filling them with so what's the goodness of how God has created sex and sexuality and who we are as women, I think mm-hmm. we need to be talking about that more in our communities.
That's good.
Sarah, that's such a good segue too. We've been talking about what might be the hope of Jesus for young teens, young women in our hypersexualized culture. Mm-hmm. Do you think the hope takes a different shape? Maybe it doesn't, but does the hope take a different shape if you're single or if you're widowed? Do you have a sense of what that might be? Like, where is Jesus? You know, this woman's in a relationship, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. clearly one she shouldn't have been in, but she's in a relationship. Does the hope that Jesus has for our bodies here look different for single or widowed women?
Yeah, and along the same line, I think so many times you talk about our role in relationship, right? It's when you're single, you're looking to get married. And then when you're married, you're looking to become a mother. It's always, we make the anchor of who we are other people. Whereas I think if we can make the anchor Jesus Christ to say our role as women is to be the bridegroom of Christ, you know, and to really teach that to our young girls to say the greatest relationship you'll be in is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the real deal. And if you focus on going deeper in your relationship with Jesus Christ, whether God keeps you single, whether God brings you into marriage, then you'll know the real thing when you see it, because hopefully your spouse or whoever you marry will also reflect Jesus Christ. If you don't get married, whatever God leads you into your life, those ministries, those areas will also reflect Jesus Christ. And so I think we have an anchor in what is true and what is good, and that anchor is Jesus, then there is so much hope for whatever kind of relationship we find ourselves in.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think so. Many people in my world are single women, and certainly there's single guys as well. And it's not like when you get married, suddenly a switch gets flipped and, ooh, I didn't know I had this part of my life. Like, we're mm-hmm. dealing with our sexuality mm-hmm. from the time we go through puberty. It's mm-hmm. just kind of very present. Mm-hmm. And it's learning the purpose and the wonder mm-hmm. of what God created us. And it's not like you're on hold, but the reality is that it's something we struggle with in mm-hmm. this world. Mm-hmm. And learning how to embrace, and really I think we should be students of why God created us, mm-hmm. how God created us, what the purpose of our physical body is, mm-hmm. and our sexuality. And certainly it finds fulfillment in that physical act of intercourse mm-hmm. that we would have in marriage. Mm-hmm. But we have to learn how to steward these bodies in every single way as mm-hmm. followers of Jesus, mm-hmm. whether it's mm-hmm. our sexuality, our appetites of any kind, mm-hmm. To bring honor to God and to hopefully take shame away and bring mm-hmm. Jesus in.
Well, I love what you just said there, how you sort of take shame away and still bring honor to Jesus. Because I think what's so incredible about this woman, she's just had this incredibly humiliating mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. moment in front of all these men. And then when she's alone with Jesus, she preaches the gospel. Mm-hmm. I am not condemned. No one has condemned right. me. And yeah. I think that's amazing. That I can't even imagine how she would have felt. But that God then uses her in that moment of shame and humiliation to teach yeah. what yes. is possible to us, yeah. right? yes. which is such a wonderful gift.
I think that's yeah. the beauty that she went. Yeah. Imagine after that, mm-hmm. how could you not tell mm-hmm. yes. your yeah. girlfriends about this encounter with Jesus? Guess what happened? Yes. And they're like, oh, did you get caught?
Yes.
Yes. And you would never expect what just happened.
Yes.
And imagine sharing that story yeah. with her girlfriends and people. And they're like, are you kidding me? The 71 men just left?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not dead? We can't believe you're not dead? Yeah. Like that is where I'm just like, wow.
Well, she can walk in the town with her head held high. Yeah. She doesn't have to walk.
I know, isn't that incredible?
It's a completely yeah. different narrative. Her yeah. like that's just fascinating. When I think about embodied beings, mm-hmm. that word's really resonating with me. I don't think I've spent much time mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. sitting in that mm-hmm. phrase.
Powerful. Mm-hmm. And that our female bodies are one of the ways that God is reflected into the world,
yes.
right? And that's just such one of the wonderful gifts, right? We learn that in Genesis, right? Mm-hmm. That our bodies actually yeah. reflect part of the divine nature to the world. And that what these men wanted to do is humiliate her body publicly, right. but Jesus restores her. I think also like in physical safety, she yes. must have felt so physically vulnerable.
Yes.
That oh, yeah. Jesus made her safe.
Like, could you imagine that?
No.
Like she's caught, they drag her out. Yeah. Like imagine.
Yeah.
Like it's awful. I don't think mm-hmm. they understand like how, or maybe we do, but just to be that woman, mm-hmm. dragged, your family, people seeing you, knowing you
yep.
in front of these men, and they're all like, mm-hmm. kill her, yeah. stone her, and then yep. Jesus. And that is the picture of that. It just makes me mm-hmm. cry every time.
It's a lesson to us as parents mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Like if we walk in and we were, say, to find our child mm-hmm. watching pornography, how do we respond? Because mm-hmm. they're making choices that are not their best yeah. choices, but how we can be a voice, like it doesn't condone that behavior, but how sure. can we bring hope, healing, restoration, mm-hmm. and deliverance? Because shame will drive it further. Mm-hmm. Yes. Healing will take them to Jesus.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Wow. Amazing conversation. Jenny, that was powerful
yes.
and got us all crying and mm-hmm. teary. And so thank you. Thank you for this discussion and for all of you. And just some of the points, like, you know, Lord, no one has condemned me. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the thing that you need to sit on. Mm-hmm. You know, she's alone with Jesus, and this is what she says. He kneels down in the dirt, is with her. Our anchor is Jesus. Jesus was there for her. Mm-hmm. It's this, I love this, empowered, it's embraced and empowered. Mm-hmm. So much richness, isn't mm-hmm. this? So I have more notes to write in the study yeah. guide, but thank yeah. you so much.
Powerful.
Well, Helen, why don't you wrap us up in prayer mm-hmm. and sort of seal this in for mm-hmm. us?
So we come before you right now, and we thank you, Jesus, that you are always present. You are with us in our best moments, in our hardest and most shameful moments, and you don't condemn us. You love us to life. And God, how we learn this from this woman and how you loved her. God, I'm just aware right now there might be women or men watching or discussing this study, and there is shame that wants to cover them and just keep them back from all that you have for them. And God, I just speak freedom I speak restoration. I speak wholeness into their life, God, that they would encounter you in the most wonderful way, even as this woman that is unnamed but is known by you, God, that how you met her. God, would we walk with the grace that you showed her towards others? And God, would there be people here today that are studying, learn of your kindness and your forgiveness and the freedom that you offer them? I bless each and every one today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Wow. So good. Again, the notes in this. All of you are like writing notes and just making this happen. Yeah. So to you, our viewers and listeners and Bible study journey women, make sure you sign up for the Bible study guide at seeherelove.com/unnamedwomenstudy, because there's so much good questions, information, and also a note of the prayers. There are prayers in here that we're not praying that actually you can pray along with your group, with yourself as well. So please join us. Make sure you follow us on social media as well, because we have lots of fun things for you. So thank you. Thank you again, Anne, Helen, Sarah, and Jenny, for your time. And so, friend, know that you are always known, you are always seen, you are always heard, and you are always deeply, deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us, and make sure you download the study guide now. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.